The last time we got together, we looked at the start of the journeys of Paul the Apostle, and how originally when Paul the Apostle got born again, he was on the road to Damascus, and he had been witnessed to by the Lord Jesus Christ. We saw a quick review of where we were last time. And on the road to Damascus, he got born again. We know that he spent 3 years in Damascus and had gone outside and maybe into Arabia as well. And then later on, gone to Jerusalem. But he hadn't gone to Jerusalem right away. Later, when he went to Jerusalem, the believers didn't really believe he was a believer because of what he was doing in the past. And so they sent him away to Tarsus. We saw that as well last week. And eventually, Barnabas went to Tarsus to get Paul the Apostle back, and they ended up going to Antioch in Syria, where they spent some time teaching God's word, and the people were first called Christians in Antioch. And a little while after that, we looked also at the first journey that Paul had taken, and it had taken him throughout parts of Asia, and where the word of God started to grow slowly throughout that region. And after that first journey, they had gone down to the Council of Jerusalem in Acts 15, where we had seen there was an issue with the believers, thinking that they had to be circumcised in order to be real believers, so to speak. And then Paul and Barnabas went down and told them about the wonderful miracles they had done and they had seen among the Gentiles. And as a result, they had been given some decrees that they were going to send out to the believers with those instructions and so forth. And last time we had gotten into Paul's second journey, and we had seen how God had forbidden them to speak the word of God in Bithynia and Mysia, and they had gone through Macedonia, where some of the chief cities are Philippi, Berea, and Thessalonica. They had gone through there. And this time Paul had taken with him Silas, and they had joined up with Timothy as well at one point. And when they got down to here, they had left Paul had gone ahead, and Silas and Timothy had stayed behind, and Paul eventually ended up going to Corinth, and which is where we left Paul last week, sitting by himself in Corinth. And we'll now go to Acts chapter 18. That's where we'll start. That gives you a quick review where we were. And in Acts 18, verse 1. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. And we read this last week. This is roughly around 52 to 54 AD. And found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome. I read this last week. And we got down to verse 9, when the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to Paul and in a vision. And he said, "Be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city." And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. So later on, Silas and Timothy do join up with Paul the Apostle here in Corinth. And I want you to go to, so at that time, Paul, Silas, and Timothy are in Corinth. So this time we're going to go look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. We'll go back there in Acts in a minute. In the first chapter of Thessalonians, chapter 1, we read verse 1. Paul and Silvanus, or Silas, another word for Silas. Paul and Silas and Timotheus, or Timothy, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father, and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So this epistle was written at a time when Paul, Silas, and Timothy were together. That's what it says here in 1 Thessalonians. And if you remember the record, when they went through Macedonia, they were not together when Paul later went on to Athens. But they were together in Berea, and they were together in Thessalonica. And if you read, and we're not going to go into all the records, but 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, if you read the rest of all the other verses, will show you that it was written most likely from Corinth, of the cities they were together. So when Paul was in Corinth, he wrote 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. And this was roughly around 52 to 54 AD, and Paul was there for 18 months. So during that time, first he wrote 1st Thessalonians, and then he wrote 2nd Thessalonians. Acts chapter 18, so the first of the seven church epistles that was written, as far as we know, was Thessalonians. Acts chapter 18, back to 18. Again, we're only doing a cursory examination of some of these verses. If you want to go in greater detail, I can recommend some material to you. In Acts 18:18, "And Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren and sailed thence into Syria." So after the 18 months were finished and he had written 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, he decided that he would leave from there and sailed thence into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Cenchrea, for he had a vow. So Paul from there, by the way, I've added some of the regions in the picture that I didn't have last week in this next picture. Some of the regions where you may recognize some of the names as to when they're passing through a region. It mentions a region, not necessarily a city. So he sails back towards Syria. But on the way, verse 19, "And he came to Ephesus," which is where that arrow shows you there, "and left them thence there. But he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews." So Aquila and Priscilla, who traveled with him, now were left at Ephesus. Verse 20, "When they desired him to tarry longer time with them, he consented not, but bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem, but I will return again unto you, if God will. And he sailed from Ephesus. And when he had landed at Caesarea," so he sailed from Ephesus, and then he went down to Caesarea. "Landed at Caesarea, and gone up, and saluted the church, he went down to Antioch." Remember again, it says he's in Caesarea. Gone up means gone down in our thinking, because Jerusalem is below Caesarea. So when he had gone up to Jerusalem, then it says he went down to Antioch, which is up there. Interesting how the Word of God says that. Okay, and he went down to Antioch. "And after he had spent some time there," verse 23, "he departed and went over all the country of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening all the disciples." So this is the conclusion of the second journey. And then from there, we get into the start of the third journey. He went back again through the regions where he had gone to strengthen those people who were now disciples, who were followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let's look at Acts 19, verse 1. "And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coasts, came to Ephesus." He came now to Ephesus. Now, if you'll remember the last time, in the previous journey, God had told them not to go that way. They had gone around. But this time, he goes right through that area and goes to Ephesus. Different in situation, different revelation. Right? So he goes to Ephesus. Who had he left in Ephesus before? Aquila and Priscilla, right? So they'd still be in Ephesus. "Paul, having passed through the upper coasts, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have you received the Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Spirit. And he said unto them, Unto what then were you baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism." Who would have taught him that? Apollos, right? Apollos had just been there, and he had been taught better by Aquila and Priscilla, right? Who were there in Ephesus. And now the other disciples hadn't heard much more than what Apollos had taught them. Verse 4, Then said Paul, "John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months." So we know he at least spent 3 months in Ephesus, "disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years." So we know he spent at least 2 years and 3 months in Ephesus. Quite a lot of time this time, isn't there? so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. So Paul arrives in Ephesus. Apollos had been there, so he spends at least 2 years and 3 months. Down in verse 21. And verse 20 is that verse where it says, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. So the word of God made its way around, was heard by many. And after these things were ended, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. So he went. So he sent into Macedonia two of them that ministered unto him, Timothy and Erastus, but he himself stayed in Asia for a season. So he wanted to go, but then he said, well, I'm going to stay a little longer, and he sent Timothy and Erastus ahead into Macedonia. Do you remember Macedonia on the picture there is the area where we have Thessalonica, Berea. That's where he had sent the epistles of 1st and 2nd Thessalonians to. So he wants to go back there, but he sends Timothy and Erastus ahead. Let's go to 20, verse chapter 20, and look at verse 31. It says here, this is a later time, he's talking about, therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. This is when he's at subsequent time, he's with the elders of Ephesus, he tells them, don't you remember when I was with you for 3 years warning and teaching you? So that tells us that he actually spent 3 years in Ephesus on that particular journey. Back to Acts 20 and verse 1. And after the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him his disciples and embraced them and departed for to go into Macedonia. And when he had gone over those parts and had given them much exhortation, he came into Greece. So he went through Macedonia, and that's the next part of his journey. He went through Macedonia, given the disciples much exhortation, and then he arrived in Greece, which is known also in the Bible as Achaia, the region of Achaia. And there abode 3 months, so now he's there, and when the Jews laid wait for him, as he was about to sail into Syria, he purposed to return through Macedonia. So he was going to go right from Greece all the way back to Syria, but he knew that they were waiting for him, so he decides to go back into Macedonia, which is what he does. Goes back up towards Macedonia. That's the next part of his journey there. Let's look at verse 4. And there accompanied him into Asia, so he goes back, Sopater of Berea and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus and Secundus and Gaius of Derbe and Timothy of Asia, Tychicus and Trophimus. These going before tarried for us at Troas. So they went up this way. See where they're, that's the other part of his journey. They waited for him at Troas. And we sailed away from Philippi after days of unleavened bread and came unto them in Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. Okay, and here is the first part in the book of Acts where the writer starts using we, right? And which tells us who was with Paul here. Who wrote the book of Acts? Luke, right? So here, Luke was also traveling with the Apostle Paul. Because it refers to we. There are we sections in Acts, and this is one of the we sections where we know Luke was also with Paul the Apostle here. Okay. In the Troas, if you'll remember that record, we're not going to read it, where Paul preached until midnight, and this young man named Eutychus fell out of the window and died, right, while he was preaching, and they went down and ministered to him, and he was raised again, and they sat up till morning speaking the word of God. Wouldn't that have been an incredible event, right? So that happened in Troas. Verse 13 of chapter 20. And we went before to ship and sailed unto Assos, there intending to take in Paul, for so he had appointed, minding himself to go afoot. So Paul walks a little bit. And when we met with us at Assos, we took him in and came to Mytilene. So they went down this coast here, and then all the way, that's the rest of the journey there. Okay, actually I'll go back one notch there. When he's in Mytilene, Let me get my bearings here. Verse 14, 15. And we sailed thence and came the next day over against Chios, and the next day we arrived at Samos and tarried at Troglium, and the next day we came to Miletus. For Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus because he would not spend the time in Asia, for he hasted, if it were possible for him, to be at Jerusalem the day of Pentecost. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. So he didn't actually go up to Ephesus himself this time. He called them to come to see him while he was at the coast in with Miletus. Now the rest of the record here is the record, if you will remember, where Paul wanted to go to Jerusalem. And it starts at this point, but who told him that he shouldn't go to Jerusalem? God. God told him that he wasn't to go to Jerusalem. So the rest of this journey here that Paul takes is contrary to God's will. God did not want him to go to Jerusalem. So again, the rest of the journey, which we'll show you here, takes him all the way down to Jerusalem, which is where he wasn't supposed to go. And we know that Paul is captured by the Romans, Acts 21. Let's go to verse 17. And when we were come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. And the day following, Paul went in with us unto James, and all the elders were present. So Paul is captured here. We're not going to read it in detail, by the Romans. And then he is sent up to, or down to, biblically speaking, Caesarea. Acts 24. Again, it's a very instructive to read this, and I'm sure many of you have done it, but if you haven't, to do this on your own, to sit there and plot where Paul the Apostle is and where he goes and see what's going on. You learn a lot about God's Word. And why do we spend time here going through the journeys and seeing where he was and when he wrote the epistles? Well, if you will think about it, the seven church epistles, right, are arguably the most important document on the face of the earth for any believer living in the age of grace to know. Yes? Is there anything, I can't think of anything else that person should know better than that, which is addressed to the believer today, right? So it's interesting to see when they were written and what was going on to get a little sense of, you know, what Paul was facing and the challenges that he faced, but also to get a good, like you'll see when you read the epistles, when you know when things were written and where he was, a lot of the verses make more sense to you. They become alive. You know, here you saw Thessalonians. Oh, yeah, I know where he was then when that was written, right? So you know what they were going through. When they talk about, you know, within were fears and outside were fears, or God delivered us here and will deliver us, and you know exactly what was going on, right? So I find it instructive. I hope you do too. Acts 24, he appeared before Felix, the Roman governor, and this happened around 58 to 60 A.D., the best that we understand. 24:24. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time, and when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." And he hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him. Therefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. But after 2 years, there it is. So Paul spent at least 2 years there. Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. So Paul was in Caesarea 2 years. So exactly that which God had asked him not to do, Paul ended up doing. And what's the end result of the movement of God's word under Paul's ministry? Right? Not very much for 2 years, right? Because he was in prison. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to leave Paul in Caesarea this week. We're just going to take a look at the epistles to the first epistle to the Corinthians and the second epistle to see where they would have been written from after, now that we have a little bit of a scope of the journeys that Paul took. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ, through the will of God, and Sosthenes our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. In chapter 4, so it's written to the church of God. In chapter 4, we read in verse 14, I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons I warn you. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you to the gospel. Who was their father in Christ? Paul, right? Paul is the one who went to Corinth. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me, for this cause have I sent unto you Timothy. So wherever he was writing from, he told them that he was sending Timothy to them, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 16. So he sent Timothy to them. First Corinthians 16, verse 5. Now I will come unto you when I shall pass through Macedonia, for I do pass through Macedonia. So he tells them, listen, I'm going to come to you, because I'm going to pass through Macedonia. Then on my way after I pass through Macedonia, as we've seen, you have to go through Macedonia to get to Corinth if you're going the land route. So what does he say here? Let's see. Verse 6. And it may be that I will abide, yea, and winter with you. So his plans were to winter with the Corinthians before when he wrote this, that you may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go. For I will not see you now by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you if the Lord permit. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. So he's saying, I'm going to stay in Ephesus until Pentecost. Verse, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. Now if Timothy comes unto, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord as I do also. Let no man therefore despise him, but conduct him in peace, that he may come unto me, for I look for him with the brethren. So he had sent Timothy to them from wherever he wrote this, and he was saying he himself would stay in Ephesus. So remember the previous journey we just saw? Where did Paul spend 3 years? In Ephesus, right? He spent 3 years in Ephesus. So Paul would have written 1 Corinthians before Pentecost during his 3 year stay at Ephesus, and after would have continued his journey into Macedonia and then spent the winter with the believers in Corinth, because you have to go through Macedonia, and he came back down and spent the winter. So he wrote that 1 Corinthians epistle on his journey through Ephesus. In verse 9, it says, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. Previously, he had left Aquila and Priscilla at Ephesus, so they would probably still be there. Let's go to 2 Corinthians, that's where I want to go next. 2 Corinthians. So we know 1 Corinthians was written from Ephesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. So this is when Timothy is with Paul. So after he had sent him the first time, Timothy must have come back to him, because now he's with Paul again. Because remember, he said he was going to wait for him, so he was going to come back to him. So at this point, when he writes this, Timothy has returned. In verse 15 of the same epistle, same chapter, and in this confidence I was minded to come unto you before, that you might have a second benefit, and to pass by you into Macedonia, and to come again out of Macedonia unto you, and if you to be brought on my way towards Judea. So he was saying that he was going to come to them to give them a second benefit, because he'd only been in Corinth once, yes? He'd been there once, right? And the second time he had written them an epistle from Ephesus. He hadn't been there twice yet. So he was saying, I was going to come to give you a second benefit. That's what that verse says there. Verse 15, that you might have a second benefit. So he had a second plan. But then he was going to go into Macedonia after he goes to Corinth. But that's not what he ended up doing, right? He ended up going to Macedonia first and coming down and then back up. So things changed. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2. verse 1, "But I determined this with myself, that I would not come again to you in heaviness." I lost my place. Verse 2, "For if I make you sorry, who is he that maketh me glad, but the same which is made sorry by me? And I wrote this same unto you, lest when I came, I should have sorrow from them of whom I ought to rejoice, having confidence in you all, that my joy is the joy of you all. For out of much affliction and anguish of your heart I wrote unto you with many tears, not that you should be grieved, but that you might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you." He had planned originally to go to Corinth to see them for a second time, but he said, you know what? I decided not to come because he would have come in heaviness. It would have been a heavy visit, so he said, instead, I wrote you an epistle. So he sent them 1 Corinthians instead of actually visiting them the second time. Right? That was, so his second benefit ended up being the epistle of 1 Corinthians. Right? So that's why he says here that, let's go to actually 2 Corinthians 2, verse 12. "Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me, Lord, I had no rest in my spirit, because I found not Titus my brother, but taking my leave of them, I went from thence into Macedonia." You see, that's exactly what he did. From we saw the previous journey, he didn't go directly to Greece or Achaia. He went up through Troas to Macedonia. So he were following his journey. Now he's left Ephesus. He's written 1 Corinthians. Timothy comes and rejoins him. And now he's writing 2 Corinthians. Let's go to chapter 7. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 5. "For when we were come..." See, this epistle tells us, because he's telling in this epistle where he was. See, verse 5. "For when we were come into Macedonia..." So obviously, he didn't write this from Ephesus, did he? He must have been at least as far as Macedonia, right? "But when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down comforteth us by the coming of Titus." Previously, he went to Troas. He hadn't found Titus, but by the time he gets to Macedonia, Titus must have joined him again. Right? "And not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you when he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoice the more." You see how if he had gone the first time by revelation, it would have been a heavy visit. But since he sent the first epistle to the Corinthians, things have changed, haven't they? They've all of a sudden changed, and they're Titus says, well, they're very loving. They're waiting for you to come. You see how the first epistle had the desired result. In fact, he praises them in the second church epistle, the second epistle, that it, what great clearing, what reverent, what great vehement desire it had brought in you. So the epistle, instead of his actual visit, had done exactly more than his visit would have done, right? So here he's finding all kinds of wonderful information on his, as he's getting closer to them, that they had reacted well to what he had written, right? Well, that's really neat. Verse 9. "Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry," here it is, "but that you'd sorrow to repentance." So they were made sorry by this epistle, but they repented of their problems. "For you were made sorry after a godly manner, that you might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the world sorrow of the world worketh death." See, worldly sorrow leads to what? Death. But when you're approved by the word of God and you listen, it leads to life and repentance and blessing, right? So he's very excited. You know, the epistle had done what God had intended to be done. Verse 2 Corinthians 12, 14, it says, and this is interesting, "Behold, the third time I am ready to come to you. And I will not be..." Now, why does he say a third time? Because the first visit and the second benefit ended up being his epistle, right? So in his mind, he had been there once. The second time he was there via his epistle, because it was just like his personal presence. He had spoken the word of God to them. Now he says, now I'm ready to come a third time. Right? Pretty neat. "Behold, a third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought to not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you." 2 Corinthians chapter 13. We'll close here, verse 1. This is the third time I am coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. I told you before and foretell you as if I were present. As if I were present. See that? When he hadn't been present, but if it was just like he had been present. That's why this is counted as his third visit to the Corinthians. Right? Neat how the word of God just fits like that, doesn't it? As if I were present the second time. But he hadn't been, but his epistle certainly had. And being absent, now I write to them which heretofore have sinned, and to all other, that if I come, I will not spare. So he's telling them, I'm on my way. See, his epistles had taken the place of his second visits, so that is why he referred to his next trip as his third one. And this time when he stayed with them, he spent the winter there, and then as we've seen, he made his way down to Jerusalem in the spring, and then after that he went to Caesarea and was captured there. And that's where we'll leave our beloved brother Paul, captured in Caesarea, and we'll pick up the record next time we're together.